All right, so today we're going to be in Luke chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 17. So Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 10, it should be on the screen below me. This is what it says. It says, "Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant or furious, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day.' Then the Lord answered him, 'You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?' As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him." All right, so here in this passage, we learn of this woman who has been suffering for 18 years. Now, if you know me, you know that for many years, I have suffered from back issues, and I even have had to have surgery to correct some of those issues. And I know that there are several others in our church that deal with similar issues with their back. And I can honestly say that it is the most debilitating thing that I've ever had to deal with, because when your spine is injured, your whole body suffers. All movement and activity is affected by some kind of back injury. Now, this woman here in this passage of scripture, she doesn't just have back pain, but by the original language, we learn that she has literally been doubled over for 18 years. She's been doubled over for 18 years. Now, a diagnosis of this woman's condition by modern medical scholars would be something called ankylosing spondylitis. Ankylosing spondylitis. This is a rare disease which causes bones to fuse, making the spine fold completely forward. Now, I recently watched a documentary about a man in China who suffered from this very condition, and they called him the folded man because he's completely folded in half. And in this documentary, they talk about the chronic pain that this man has suffered for 28 years, as well as the constant fatigue and nausea that his condition caused. This man was completely dependent on his mother for his very basic needs. He couldn't feed himself or clothe himself or bathe himself. He even needed her help to go to the bathroom. And in the documentary, the mother talked about how depressed this man was, that he was constantly crying. Now, I don't know if this woman in Luke chapter 13's condition was as bad as this man in China, but again, according to the original language in this text, this woman has been literally doubled over for 18 years. And if her suffering is anything like this man from China, then it would be unbearable. I want you to think about it. For 18 years, this woman has been unable to stand up straight. For 18 years, she's been unable to look people in the eye. She's been able to see what, unable to see what everyone else sees. For 18 years, she has suffered not only the physical pain of her condition, but also the mental and emotional pain that undoubtedly accompanied it. For 18 years, most likely, she has had to rely on others to accomplish basic tasks, probably making her feel like she was a burden to others. But on this day, as she attends the synagogue for worship, as Jesus is teaching in this synagogue, it says that he sees her. He sees her. Now, I want to stop right there for just a minute. I want to say this to you, because this may be the only thing you need to hear today, is that Jesus sees you. He sees you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been or what you've done, no matter the pain that you're suffering, or the difficulty or trial that you're going through, Jesus sees you, and he loves you, and he has compassion over you and mercy over you. And so here is this woman who has been suffering for 18 years, and she comes to the synagogue, and it just so happens this day that Jesus is teaching, and he sees her, and he is about to set her free. Now, when I study a passage of scripture to prepare to teach, I typically will look at the passage in several different versions of the Bible, several different translations. And beyond that, what I normally do is I'll pick out key words, and I'll study those words in the original Greek or the original Hebrew, just to learn more about this passage of scripture. So this week, as I was doing that, something stood out to me as I read the passage in the King James Version, or the New King James Version. In Luke chapter 13, verse 12, in the New King James Version, this is how it translates it. It says, "But when Jesus saw her," the woman who was bent over, "he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" You are loosed from your infirmity. Now, you may have grown up in church reading the King James Version of the Bible, and this verse may be familiar to you. Or maybe you have not read the Bible, and you've heard this phrase, "Woman, thou art loosed." That's from the King James translation of verse 12. "Woman, thou art loosed." So the picture here is this woman, she is bound or tied up. All right, she is being held captive and enslaved by something, which is causing this condition, right? She is bound up. So imagine your hands and your feet being bound up. That's the picture here. And so Jesus has essentially come to unbind her or untie her and set her free. Now, I don't want us to miss the spiritual element of what's happening here in this text. In verse 11, we are told that she has been crippled by a spirit, which means that there is spiritual evil involved in her suffering here. And Jesus corroborates this in verse 16 when he says that Satan has kept her bound for 18 years. So how do we reconcile this? As a people who have a greater understanding of the science of illness and disability, as a people who believe in modern medicine, how do we reconcile this? Now, in studying scripture, I believe that we would be foolish to think that all physical illnesses are spiritual issues primarily. Okay, I think we'd be foolish in reading the passage and reading the Bible to think that all physical illnesses are primarily spiritual issues. I mean, besides the fact that sin has introduced brokenness to our bodies, okay? But we'd be foolish to think that every physical illness at its core is primarily a spiritual issue. Jesus himself doesn't treat all physical issues as he's treating the disability of this woman, right? But I think it's equally foolish. Now, I want you to hear me. I think it's equally foolish to believe that physical ailments can never be caused by spiritual issues. To believe that, you would have to disagree with how Jesus is speaking of this woman's condition. Now, we know from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that spiritual warfare is very real, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of this dark age. So there is a very real battle going on in the spiritual realm for the souls of mankind. And while we don't want to overemphasize the demonic, or we don't want to overemphasize the power of spiritual evil, we also don't want to ignore it completely, right? Because it is a real thing. The enemy, and I want you to hear me, the enemy can certainly attack our bodies. He can certainly attack our emotions. He can certainly attack our patterns of thinking. After all, he is like a lion who is roaming around looking for someone to devour, and his mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. But on the flip side of that, we also cannot blame every illness and every difficulty that we come up against in our lives on the devil, right? That old adage that seeing a devil under every bush or a demon in every bush, right? There are some things that just happen because, again, this world is broken. Our bodies are broken, right, due to sin, but also we cause some of our own difficulties, right? So we can't blame everything on the devil. So how do we respond, right? Because we really don't know what's happening at times, do we, with our illnesses? Is it spiritual or is it just physical brokenness, right? How do we respond in those moments? Well, it's really simple. We pray. right? In James chapter 4, it tells us that we don't have because we don't ask. That we're to draw near to God, and then he will draw near to us. That we're to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And then in James chapter 5, it says that if we're suffering, we should pray. And if we're ill or if we're sick, then we're to call the elders and they're to pray over us. So listen, when we don't know what's going on and why we're suffering, the key, according to the scriptures, is that we're to go before God and pray. We're to draw near to God. We're to resist the schemes of the enemy, okay? Now, this woman here in Luke chapter 13, as we said, she has been tied up and bound by spiritual evil, and this spiritual evil has brought suffering upon her, but she isn't the only one that's bound and held captive in this passage. There is another, less obvious person who needs to be set free as well, and we're going to talk about him in just a minute. And I just want to say this, we too can be bound up. Like this woman, there are many of you who know what it's like to be held captive. You know what it's like to be bound up and enslaved. And there are some of you who are watching right now who have experienced the freedom that can only be found in Jesus. However, there are some of you who are watching today who right now, you are feeling the weight of bondage in your life. And so I just want to take just a minute and I want to address some of the ways that we can experience bondage in our lives. Okay, so number one, excuse me. Number one, we are bound by sin. We are bound by sin. Listen, sin can seem so appealing, so attractive and alluring. If it wasn't appealing, why would anyone want to do it? For example, we see porn addictions wreaking havoc in our country, wrecking marriages. Children are being exposed to pornography as early as 8 years old. Not only that, it fuels the trafficking industry, which enslaves millions of men, women, and children all around the world. Okay, so sexual temptation, it's attractive. It's attractive. It appeals, and I want you to hear this, it appeals to the good desires that God has given us, and then it corrupts them. Okay, so out of the context that God made it for, it is destructive. It's destructive. Now, I've talked to many men who wrestle with pornography addictions. Now, listen, when I say that, I realize that this is not just a man issue. This is also a woman issue. Women are addicted to pornography as well, but I primarily talk to men about it, okay, because that's what's appropriate. But I talk to many men who wrestle with a porn addiction, who were drawn in initially by something that seemed so alluring or so attractive. Many of them at a very young age were exposed to pornography, and on the surface, it seemed attractive and alluring to them, who would admit now as adults that they have been tied up by it. They've been bound by it. They've been held captive by it. And this is true really of any addiction, right? What seemed at first to appeal to the senses now has you bound and you can't seem to break free. Now, some of you, you've been bound by debt, okay? Spending money you don't have on things that you can't afford. You're bound by debt. You feel enslaved by your debt. About 15 years ago, my wife Pam and I, we were driving in a car in Virginia, and I'll never forget, I just turned down the radio and I told her, I said, you know, Pam, I'm convicted because I haven't been a good steward of what God has given us. And I said that because at the time, we were in debt. We had thousands of dollars of credit card debt. And here's the thing. I was making every month a payment that was really the amount of a nice car payment, okay, every month. And I felt like I was throwing money in the garbage because no matter how much I paid, the balance of my debt never lowered. And so I felt like I was just throwing money at it and I was never going to break free from it because the balance wasn't going down at all. And I literally felt enslaved by my debt. And I told my wife this. Now, listen, on the flip side of that, I thank God. Okay, for real, I thank him because he has set me free from that debt. And I'm so grateful for it. But at the time, I literally felt bound by it. And I believe that many of you can relate to that, right? But that's what many of us do, right? Because sin is so attractive and so alluring, we chase after it. We chase after it because we think that what seems attractive and alluring might bring us joy or contentment, or we think it might bring us peace, or ultimately we think it might bring us satisfaction, right? And ultimately, when we chase after these things, we only end up finding ourselves bound by those things and held captive by those things. So again, we are bound by sin. We chase after sin because it's attractive and alluring, only to find ourselves held captive by it. The second thing that I want to tell you about is that we can be bound by things that are outside of our control. We can be bound by things that are outside of our control. Now, this is different than what we do to find ourselves in bondage, right? The sins that we commit that lead to bondage, right? Maybe this is spiritual evil, as the woman in Luke chapter 13, or maybe this is a health issue, which is also the woman in Luke chapter 13, right? Maybe the sin of another person has deeply affected your life. So maybe this applies to you because something has happened in your life and you didn't go chasing after it, right? The situation that this woman in Luke chapter 13 found herself in, she didn't choose this. She didn't say, oh, I really want to be doubled over for 18 years of my life. She didn't choose it, right? She didn't go chasing after it. And some of you, you know exactly what this is like. You know, maybe you're watching right now, you're dealing with chronic pain, or you're dealing with some disability or some other health issue, or maybe you're feeling tied up because of something that someone else has done to you. Maybe a spouse has hurt you, or maybe you're dealing with the effects of something that your parents did to you in your past, right? Or maybe you're suffering from the effects of physical or verbal or emotional abuse. Maybe that's you. Maybe you didn't choose it, but it's happening to you and it's outside of your control. In this passage, this woman that we see, she is literally unable to raise herself up. She is literally unable to fix her problem. And we are in the same condition, right? Not just physically, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Many of us find ourselves in a position where we're unable to raise ourselves up, unable to fix our problems. Now, that's ultimately the sin issue, which is why Jesus had to die on the cross, right? We are unable to fix our brokenness. But maybe that's how you're feeling because you're dealing with a situation in your life right now. And Jesus, the Son of God, just like he did with this woman in Luke chapter 13, can set you free. Okay, so we're bound by sin. Often we're bound by things that are outside of our control. And then others of us, we find ourselves bound by something completely different, something that we also see here in this passage of Scripture. And the third thing I want to talk about is we are bound by legalism. We are bound by legalism. Now, if you've been in church any amount of time, you're no doubt familiar with that word legalism, right? Legalism is the conviction that law-keeping or rule-keeping is grounds for acceptance by God. Okay, so it's the belief that if I keep the rules and I keep God's commands, then I will earn right standing and earn favor with God. It's the false assumption that I can work my way into God's good graces, trying to earn the grace and the blessing of God by following the rules and then some, even adding rules onto it. Listen, if you could earn right standing with God by following the rules, then Jesus would not have had to come and die on a cross for your sins. If we were able to, by our good behavior, earn right standing with God, then Jesus did not have to die on the cross. He did what he did on the cross because we could not measure up to the standard of God's holiness and his perfection. Now, listen, this idea that law-keeping or rule-keeping can earn acceptance or favor by God, it describes the synagogue ruler here in Luke chapter 13, who, like many during this time, believed that if he was a good enough person and that if he kept the rules, then he could earn God's favor. And so his life is all about rule-keeping. It's predominantly about rules, not just keeping the rules, but creating other rules to help him keep the rules. That's what these religious leaders would do. Now, for someone, to condemn acts of mercy and goodness on God's day of rest on the Sabbath is contrary to all that's right. Okay, so even though this synagogue ruler thinks that by keeping the rules and being a good person, he could earn right standing with God, he knows nothing about the heart of God. He knows nothing about God's love and compassion and his mercy, so much so that he condemns Jesus' compassion for this woman here on the Sabbath day in this synagogue, right? So listen, like this man, many of you that are watching right now, though you've been in church for some time, right, you've lost sight of the heart of Jesus for other people. There are many of you who are watching right now that even though you've been in church for many years, maybe, you have lost sight of the heart of Jesus for other people. And I'll say this too, you have lost sight of the heart of Jesus for yourself. Now, Jesus gives us plenty of commands in the Gospels. And not only that, but if you read the Gospels, Jesus also affirms the Ten Commandments. But I think there's many of us who misunderstand the commands of God as they relate to us. We were talking about this in our men's Bible study just a couple of weeks ago. For those who do not know Jesus, the law is condemning. The commands of God are condemning. They are proof that we need a Savior. They exist to point us to a Savior, right? Because again, we can never measure up. How good is good enough? We always feel like we're falling short because we are, right? So they're meant to point us to our need for a Savior. They are condemning. However, as it pertains to those of us who have received the grace of God through Jesus, the commands of God, they mean something totally different. For those of us who follow Jesus and have received God's grace through Jesus, God's commands, listen, are for our flourishing. They're for our good. Okay, that's what they exist for. And I'll just give you kind of an example. Okay, let's just say that you buy a piece of property, a house, and that house has a yard that backs up to a very busy highway. Okay, for where we live here in West Georgia, I would say like Highway 61 in Villarica, right? Has four lanes of traffic. There's constant cars going up and down the road there. Now imagine you bought this home and the yard backed way up to that traffic, to that busy highway, and you had kids and you wanted your kids to go out and experience the freedom of your yard, right? To go out and play and to enjoy their time outside. But you also wanted to keep them safe, right? And so for their good and because you love them, what would you do? Well, you'd build a fence, right? You'd fence in that yard from the highway, and you would allow your kids the freedom to run around inside of that fence for their own good and because you love them and for their safety, right? Well, that's essentially what God's commands are. Now, the legalist looks at that and he says, yeah, it's not good to go over that fence. And so what we're going to do is we're going to build an even taller fence inside of the fence that's created. Okay, again, rules that help us keep the rules so that we don't break the rules, okay? So they come and they say, we're gonna build a fence higher inside of the fence that was already created. And then we're gonna stand guard at that fence because we don't want anyone to go over the fence, all right? And because we don't want them to fall out of favor with God and to displease God. That's what a legalist is. That's the heart of a legalist. And here's the thing, is the heart of a legalist misses the heart of God that tells us that loving God with all that we are looks like loving our neighbor, right? Imagine, again, there's a fence that you've built for your children to run free, and then someone comes along and builds a taller fence inside of that. What was meant to go out and to be enjoyed all of a sudden becomes a prison to be kept in, right? So it misses the heart of God completely. And I say that to say this. Listen, I see so many Christians these days who claim to love God, who claim to love God, but show no love or compassion or mercy for other people. In our culture, people who claim to be Christians are often more consumed and concerned with winning an argument than they are about the souls of other people. We're more concerned with winning an argument than we are concerned about those who are in bondage and those who are held captive, okay, as this man was here in Luke chapter 13. So if this is you, if you struggle with this, a way to kind of recognize this in your life is when you think about God, you think primarily about the latest sin that you've committed, right? And how you need to work harder and be better, become a better person to earn the favor of God, to get back in His good graces. That's you. Then you struggle with legalism, right? If you're not finding love and joy and grace in your relationship with Jesus, and I would add, if you're not finding love and compassion and mercy for others, it may be that you have found yourself bound by legalism. And so that's what's happening in the scripture, right? Jesus does this miraculous thing and He sets this woman free, and yet the synagogue ruler, he folds his arms and he says, rule breaker, rule breaker. He says, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. You need to be healed on one of those days, not on the Sabbath day. He disapproves because they have broken the rules. So how does Jesus respond to him? He says, you hypocrite. Now that word hypocrite, it literally means play actor, like to act on a stage, right? To pretend to be something that you're not. So Jesus says, you hypocrite, you claim to love God. You pretend to love God, but you know nothing about Him. You know nothing about the heart of God. Jesus tells him that he is more concerned about his animals and caring for his animals than he is about people who are in bondage. Look at it. In verse 15, Jesus is like, wait a minute. You set your animals free on the Sabbath and you untie them and lead them to water. You show compassion for your animals. And this woman, she isn't just an animal. She is a daughter of Abraham. She is a child of God. Is she not worth more compassion than your ox and your donkey? You hypocrite, Jesus says. So listen, if we can show compassion and kindness and mercy and love for animals who are suffering, who are bound when they're tied up, how much more so do you think that a loving and gracious God would have compassion on us when He sees us being held captive, when He sees us bound and tied up? So I want you to know this in closing. Listen, God sees you when you are bound. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about the details of your suffering, of your pain, of that situation that you're going through. He cares whether you're bound by sin or you are bound by something outside of your control, something you didn't go chasing after, or whether you're bound by a prideful feeling that what you do earns you right standing with God or favor with God. Whether you're bound by anything, here's what you need to know. God sees you and He has compassion and mercy for you, and He is calling you out in this moment to set you free. To set you free. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Now the truth is, listen, we are all bound by sin. Every single one of us has fallen short of God's glorious standard. We are unable to raise ourselves up, to fix ourselves, to free ourselves. And part of the task of Scripture, like we're reading here, okay, part of the task is simply to make sure that we understand that. That we are held captive by sin, to realize that without Jesus, we're all bound and crippled by sinfulness and brokenness, and we are in need of a Savior. Regardless of how things look on the surface of our lives, the truth is that we are all on a road to desperation and despair until we turn to the One who died for our sins. The only One who could set us free is Jesus. So listen, if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you find yourself bound by sin, then I would just humbly ask you in this moment to turn your life over to Christ, to place your faith and your hope and your trust in Him. God loves you so much that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin and your shame and your brokenness. And all you have to do is place your faith and your trust in Him and begin to follow Him. And there's some of you who are watching right now, and you feel bound by something in your life, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know how to deal with it. Scripture says in those moments, listen, that we're to pray, that we're to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. That we're to resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we're suffering, we're to pray. If we're sick, we're to pray. So listen, I just want to appeal to you really quickly, because some of us, we may be reading scripture like this, and we see the miracle that happens on the pages of scripture, and we think, yeah, but that could never happen to us. Listen, the same God, the same Spirit that we see here in this passage of scripture is the same God, the same Jesus, the same Spirit that we've placed our faith and trust in right now. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has the ability to set us free. We don't have because we don't ask. Now, is it God's will that you're set free from that thing in this moment? I have no clue. But listen, what does Jesus tell us to do? He tells us to pray, to seek after him. And so that's what we're going to do. Okay, so again, Jesus sees you. He sees you, and he loves you, and he has compassion over what it is that you're going through. And so you draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, as I think back on my life, God, I can see that before I placed my faith and trust in Jesus, that I was held captive by so many things. And looking back, I can see how Jesus set me free when I placed my faith and trust in him. Since then, Lord, I've been held captive by sin issues. I've been held captive by things that are outside of my control. And as I look back and I have drawn near to you, God, I can see in moments how you've had compassion and mercy over me and set me free. So I'm a living testimony, God, that you can unbind us, that you can free us from whatever it is that's holding us captive, Lord. And so I pray right now for the hearts of those that are watching, Lord. God, that they wouldn't read something like this and just let it go over their head. But if there are people that are watching right now that are bound by something in their life, Lord, that they would believe with all of their heart that you can set them free, and they would begin to cry out to you and just lay that stuff at your feet. God, I pray for those who are watching today that have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, that today would be the day that they would surrender their lives to Jesus and place their faith and trust in him. God, we need you. God, we are desperate for you. I talk to people every day, God, that I see that are bound and held captive. Family members, friends, church members, Lord. People that I meet out in the community, Lord. People who are bound and they're looking for a Savior. God, I pray, God, right now, God, that you would overwhelm those people with your Holy Spirit. God, that they would recognize their need for you. They would cry out to you for mercy. So God, we just ask that you would have your way with us, Lord. Speak to us. Draw us close to you, Lord. We are desperate for you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.